You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
I have so much to say to you today, and if you're ready to hear, raise your hand, let me see. If you're ready to hear, reach up and touch your ear and say, Father, let me hear what the Spirit would say to me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I must get something natural out of the way before I move to the Spirit. There is a little insignificant game that is being played today. I'm not going to tell you who I'm for. But as you do know, several years ago, for a couple of years, I was the chaplain for the Atlanta Falcons. I'm not going to tell you who I'm for. It was during my time there, in my second year of being the chaplain of the Falcons, that we were playing the San Francisco 49ers. They were great. They were Super Bowl champions. They had Joe Montana quarterback, Jerry Rice at wide receiver. And we had a young defensive back that was a rookie named Deion Sanders. Every game, every time before the game, I would pray over all the guys and speak to them. After the game, I would pray over all of them and speak to them again. And we forged a tremendous relationship. So it was at that game, with 7 seconds to go, Deion Sanders got fooled and confused on his assignment, and there, wide open in the end zone for a bomb, was the San Francisco receiver. He caught the pass, and now with 7 seconds, we were 4 points down. Field goal would not do anything. And the guys came off the field cursing and swearing, throwing their helmets down. And I said to them, God's looking for somebody to show himself strong through. You know a miracle could happen. And at first they looked at me like they were crazy because our starting quarterback had got knocked out of the game. The backup quarterback had been knocked out of the game. And a country boy named Billy Joe Tolliver could come in. Now, he was not very accurate, but he could throw it a long way. 7 seconds. I went and stood by Coach Glanville, my friend from Georgia Tech, the head coach. I put my arm around him. I said, you know, Jerry, a miracle could happen. I want to say to all of you, a miracle could happen. Don't worry about what it looks like. 7 seconds to go and down four, that's kind of a terrible position to be in. And so there was a long kickoff. They took it in the end zone and downed it, so no time went off the clock. We got the ball back then. You got the ball at the 20-yard line. Andre Rison, who was dating Left Eye, they were shooting at each other in the grocery store. I was praying for him every week. He did a 20-yard out, and at the 40-yard line, he caught a ball. Now there's 3 seconds to go in the game. And I'm walking up and down the sideline saying, a miracle could happen. A miracle could happen. And so Billy Joe Tolliver went back. It was one of the first times you ever heard the term Hail Mary, because it was a prayer. That country boy went back and threw the ball up as hard. He threw it 60 yards in the air. And it goes all the way up in the end zone, and everybody mistimes their jump. Everybody jumps up, and then they come back down, and Michael Hayes is standing at the back of the end zone, catches it, falls down. We win the game. So we go into the locker room, HBO, all the television stations are on. And my son, who was about this tall at this time, was in the locker room with me. I would always take him everywhere with me. And Coach Glanville went, no player deserves this victory. Because this was something that had to come from God. So the game ball, the only time in NFL history where the game ball was given to a minister. It's a miracle. Now, I'm going to be politically correct. I'm not telling you who I'm for. I do want to say thank you, especially to my son, Robert Rivera, who worked tirelessly for the last 3 months, 2.5, 3 months, taking my two latest books and not only fixing them in Spanish, translating them into Spanish, but translating them into English. And they just got here 2 days ago. And so here's the new book, I Speak Wisdom. Two languages. And then Fathers of Reinvention. And so I have two books coming out that are out. And if my son and Johnny does everything they're supposed to do, I also have a brand new CD coming out of me playing the trumpet and my kids singing in Spanish, because you English folks don't get me. That's why I spent a month in Colombia learning Spanish, my people. That was all said just in love. I'm sorry. I love you. And Gary, you get the first book, I Speak Wisdom, because he has been after me forever about, I want your book, because let me just tell you something. In the kingdom of God, you can either look at something in the natural and be confused, depressed, not know which way to go. Or the Bible says in the book of James, if you lack wisdom, ask for it. And when you have wisdom, there are no hard questions. I really believe that soon, I'm so excited, my daughter's here, and I saw Jason here, and my babies are here, all of them. There's Jason. Let me show you Jake. Let me show you, Jake, how big Jake is. Jake. Okay. I love my kids. My daughter Joan has just taken a job with TBN to produce the largest documentary they've ever done in the history, really, of Christianity and the history of that station, of what God is doing around the world. It's going to take 3 years. She's going to tape things that God is doing all over the earth. I'm very, very proud of her. Very proud of my son back there, Jason. His team is doing exceptionally well, and my prayer is with them. At the end of the service, baby, I need you to remind me that, God, I have a prophetic word, but I want to do it at the very end of the service, okay, please? Here's the message today. Are you ready? Two visions, two paths, two destinies. Everything starts with vision. If you can't see it, you'll never have it. I said, if you can't see it, you'll never have it. So what the battle is the enemy never wants you to see it. Because if you can't see it, you can't have it. That's why the Bible says without vision, people perish. Because if you can't see it, you can't have it. Okay? Let me just take you to one scripture real quick here in Ephesians 1, verse 17. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Messiah, the glorious Father, may give you, here we go, spiritual wisdom and revelation of knowing him. Now, here's where you want to get to is verse 18. Verse 18 says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so you may know what is the hope of his calling. If you really want to see, close your eyes. I'll say that again. if you really want to see what's going on, close your eyes. Because the Bible says, open these eyes. Because seeing by the natural will get you on the wrong path, which will lead you to the wrong destiny. To the wrong destiny. So we know that today we celebrated hope. This is the year of our manifested destiny. I'm great about hope. And I'm greater. I want to see it happen. How many of you want to see what God has told you happen? You want to see it happen. Okay, I'm very, very thankful. I just want to tell you, I look and I see, watch this, and I see what God is doing here. Watch this, and I see what God is doing here. I want you to write this down if you're taking notes today. This is the year you will make big decisions. For some of you, it's already started to happen. It's already started to happen. Big, big, big decisions. And that's why you need big, big wisdom. So watch this. Anytime somebody tries to press you into an answer for a question, that's not God. The Bible says, stand still and see the glory of the Lord. If you really want to know and somebody's pressing you, tell me. Listen to me. It's your destiny. That's okay. Let me think about it. Let me pray about it. So I want you to understand. It starts with understanding this. I told the leaders this about being face to face with God. Now, if Dennis is God, stand right up here, Dennis. He kind of has the God look, the hair, the beard. Here is face to face. Why do we spend so much time in worship? To elevate ourselves where we can see. That's why, Minerva, if I have some hard question, I wait till I'm in worship so I can see the right answer. Are you with me? See, some of you just lose yourself in worship. When I get into the presence, if I was into the presence of the president, I wouldn't be just saying, oh, this is great, hallelujah, you're great, hallelujah. I would say, I have a couple things I want to talk to you about. I have a couple favors I need you to step up to the plate and help me with. Oh, my goodness. Are y'all with me today? The reason God asked Solomon, ask anything you want, it's because Solomon already knew the answer. Okay, here it comes. If God were to come to you tonight, walk into your room and say to you, what do you want? I'll give you anything you want. What are you ready for are you ready to answer? Whoa, who said that? Well, see, then God would visit you. Because until you're ready to answer the question, he'll never ask the question. Are you hearing that? So when God says to you, Rhonda, ask anything about your ministry in Haiti. What is it that you would want? What is it? You need to be ready for that answer. Solomon was a young man. It didn't take him long at all. He just went, look here. My dad's put me in this big place. I'm the ruler of a whole group of people now, a nation. I don't understand how to go in and out. I need wisdom. Now, here's the key. Here's the beauty of it all. He said, because you ask for the right thing, I will give you everything. Oh, my goodness, my goodness. So I get in worship, and I'm here, and I'm looking at financial situations. I'm looking at travel situations. I'm looking everywhere, and I don't know exactly what to do. And all of a sudden, in worship, I'm elevated. And in worship, I'm elevated, and face-to-face with God is not this. Face-to-face with God is this. I can see what God sees. Once you see God's perspective of things, everything changes. Everything changes. My wife and I were in Colombia, and several things changed because there's two appointments a year that really kind of underwrite our year. And in one of these appointments, everything changed. The whole landscape of it changed. And I'm speaking to everybody here right now. Don't lose your vision when the landscape changes. Because I'm telling you, when the landscape changes, it just means his ways are higher than our ways. And something is going to happen that you need to understand what that's about. Are you with me? So I'm not upset. I was talking with Johnny last night. I'm not upset. Johnny and I had a similar circumstance this past year. And if you look at what you've lost, you'll never see what you're about to gain. And God is not a boring God. He's going to take you places, and he's going to take you at God's speed. At God's speed, which means faster than you could possibly imagine, he would take you to where you need to be. So we see, it's the year of learning of how to see. Now let me give you this word. I believe, beyond any shadow of a doubt, God is teaching us to reparent the church. The paradigm that we've had of discipleship and whatever and fathering and whatever is something I believe that is going to have to drastically change. Now let me explain something to you. Come here, JJ, and come here, Tuti. Come here. In the Bible, listen to this. In the Bible, whenever it mentions the word grandchildren, listen, it's because, this is kind of, you never heard this, and I've gone to theologians that know the word of God. This is true. Whenever someone is called grandchildren, it's because the grandfather no longer has spiritual authority in their life. Because in the Bible, it's only children. These, I'm repenting for calling these my grandchildren. They're my children. They're my children's children. They're my children. I take responsibility for my children. They're my children. They're not my grandchildren because I'm a spiritual authority in their life. I want them to be in God's house. I want them to know how to worship. Come here, I forgot. Christian, how could I forget Christian? Christian. Now see, that changes the whole dynamic because you understand, grandchildren, I just spoil them. I don't have to worry about parenting. I don't have to worry about anything. They don't have to go to bed. We eat candy. We eat ice cream. We just have fun. They go to bed at 7 at their house. At my house, they go to bed at 1. Now, I would love them to go to bed at 7. I would adore them to go to bed at 7. They're not going to go to 7. They're granddad. But see, I've had an epiphany. They're my children. They're my children. So therefore, it changes the dynamic of how I am with them. There are so many fatherless and motherless children in our world. If you're not aware of that, you're lost right now. I'm here to tell you, you need to have a new vision. The highest term anybody ever calls me is dad or pops or whatever. Because you see, a father or a mother can make the greatest impact on a child's life. Not a grandparent, To many of you, I'm your father. And I'm cool. I honor that. I honor that. Some of y'all call me dad, and y'all are older than me. Okay. All right, Gary, I won't say anymore. All right. All right, love you. Y'all can sit down. All right, here we go. The kingdom of God is family and relationship. God does everything through relationship. That's why you have a choice every day. I've already preached it here, but you can put it down, Genesis 2:9. In your life, there's always two trees. There's the tree of life. There's the tree of choice. If you do things your way, I promise you it leads to another path. And it leads to another destiny. Here, Pebbles, is my confidence. I've been obedient to God today. That's my confidence. whatever he's asked me to do today, I've done that. And that's why I can go to sleep at night and I can just go, there's no problem. I've been obedient. Now, where I've messed up, I repent. I say, God, I'm sorry. And then I move forward with it. We must be a family. A family makes good choices. You remember what I always teach. I'm about to get to something new, but I need you to write down. God gives chances. We make choices. God gives chances every day. We make choices. At the conference this week, I'm going to teach this, and I want you to really get this. I taught this to a men's conference in Bogota, several hundred men, and I said to them, there are siete roles, seven roles, seven hats. They, in Spanish, they don't do what we do in English, where you wear a lot of different hats. They do roles. You are different roles, seven roles. And here's what I want you to know. You have to know what hat to put on at what time. Or you're going to miss. There's sometimes I have the hat. I have all the hats. I have one that says father. There's a time to be a father. When I come home to be with my wife, it's not to be a father. It's not to be a minister. It's not to be an apostle. It's to be a husband. When JJ looked at me last night and he had gotten a Lego project that was very, very difficult. He's building the Batman-mobile, and it was a bigger, more difficult. It's like for 12 years old, and he's five knocking this thing out. And I said, it's time to go to bed, to where JJ said, but Granddad, I need your help. Now, JJ's father, Jason, is a very mathematical. He can put things together. That's not my forte. Putting together these tiny little Legos that my hands are like too big to even get into the place where they need to be. But watch this. My grandson asked for my help. I did not need to be bishop. I did not to be apostle. I needed to be. It's my child. So I had calls to make, I had things to do. But what's the priority? That's how you keep in the right place with God, right priority. The most important thing was to slide off my chair and get down and help build the Batmobile. Now, I just want to tell you, we worked on it for a while. It's not done. Jason, you still have work to do this afternoon. Before the Super Bowl happens, you have a Batmobile. I promised your son that you would do that. Okay. Hallelujah. I need to be good to my word. All right, here we go. Genesis 13. In Genesis 13, there's an incredible story. It's a story. Watch this. Johan, come. It's a story of Abraham and Lot. Now, God tells Abraham, me, he says to him, I want you to leave. He has 318 families working for him. And God says, can you see what I see? And Abraham says, yes. And he says, you only need to see. Listen, the next step. Some of you are overwhelmed and don't know what to do because you're trying to see the whole way. And God says, a righteous person's steps are ordered of the Lord. Now, you don't see the whole path. You see the next step. And I'm confident that he'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. He'll be with me all the way to the end of the world. So I'm just going to make the next step. And I'm confident if I make that step, he'll take me on. So he says, I'm going to take you to the promised land. How do I get there? I don't know. You just start being obedient today. Start being obedient today. Marlon always picks me up from the airport. Are y'all excited about Marlon right now? See prayers. Things are happening. Good God Almighty. I am so happy. Now listen to this. Abram saw the vision. Go to the promised land. So what is the responsibility of everybody in this room? It's to take somebody with you. It's just not me being successful. He says the lot. God didn't speak the lot. He says the lot. Lot, look, we're going. I can't tell you where we're going. But if you'll travel with me, you'll be blessed like you've never been blessed before in your life. You will know, but listen to me. I'm going to get to this in the prophetic word at the end, but listen to me. Many people forget how they got where they are because they forget the chemistry of the people they were with. The thing that I can say beyond any shadow of a doubt is that anybody that ever worked for me or was in their ministry with me, the greatest years of their life to that point were in my ministry. Because the chemistry that I create is to make everybody successful. I'm only a success if the people I cover are successful. So he says to Lot, let's go. And so Lot starts to go with him. The minute Lot starts to go with him, Abraham's herds and Lot's herds so explode in growth that their men are fighting because it's gotten so big. It's in the scripture right there. Now watch this. Both of them made a mistake. Both made a mistake. Abraham said, Lot, look, over there, incredible rivers, lush green land. It's beautiful. It's incredible. If you take that, I'll take this rocks, desert, hills, mountains. If you go right, I'll go left. If I go right, if you go left, I'll go right. Now watch this. Immediately Lot looked at it, and what looked great was the wrong thing, because what he looked at was Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Bible says the most wicked, perverse people lived in that city. And because he made a decision based on these eyes, it cost him the life of his wife. It cost his children to live in perversion, and it cost him his complete legacy, because a vision leads to a path, leads to a destiny. Now, this is something God spoke to me last night. Where was Abraham wrong? This stony land was Canaan. And the minute, read it in the Bible, that he walks here, God says, let me remind you, as far as you can see, to the east, the west, the north, the south, all of this land is yours. If you go by these eyes, no limits. Here's where Abraham was wrong. Lot, we need to handle our men that are fighting. Because if we go this way and we stay joined together, there is so much land. As far as you can see, our herds will never even touch each other. But it's the enemy to always break up covenant relationship. Because the minute that Lot left, he got out of the chemistry of what God had joined together. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. So we see that what God had joined together, it was because God had a destiny. I love 1 Kings 18. I'm not going to talk to you. The Bible says that Elijah said to the people, choose you this day who you will serve. If God is God, choose him. If Baal is God, choose him. Now watch this. The Bible said, listen to me. The Bible says, and the people answered not a word. And then he said, see, what God wants is he wants you to make a choice before the fire. He says, then let the God by fire answer. And all the people went, yeah, yeah, listen to me. I don't want to go through the fire. I just want to be obedient. I don't want to go through tests that are brutal and I have to go through that torture. You remember what I always teach? The more flexible you are in God, the less you have to be broken. That's why at 64, I'm still very flexible. I'm very limber. I can go down. I'm flexible. I can move. I can chuck. I can. And all the, God says, do this. And I go, that's exactly what I wanted to do. Then there's no fire. The fire is to purify you because you make wrong choices. Yeah, think about that this afternoon. All right, let me just take you to this. Ruth, chapter 1, 16 to 17. How many of you had a trying 2016? Let me see your hand. 2016 was tough. It was tough. It was very, very tough. Come here, baby. Now watch this. This is Naomi. Now, I don't know what kind of year you had, but let me explain to you the year that Naomi's had. Her husband died. It would be like if I died. She has two sons. Both of her two sons die. And the Bible says a good father, whoo, leaves an inheritance for his children. Don't know who Naomi's husband was, but he left her nothing. I don't have that situation in my life. I'm afraid that Sonny is praying sometimes that I go home to be with the Lord, because if I do, she would have no worries. Okay. I'm a good man. You're not going to. Okay. All right, Eddie. All right, Eddie. Eddie said, don't go down that road. I won't do it. Every day she weeps. 2016 for Naomi was worse. And then what happened? Ruth, Oprah, where's Oprah? All she had was two daughter-in-laws, and both of them were weeping. Let me just tell you something. Watch this. If you're grieving, you'll always have a blurred vision. I was doing a grief recovery seminar years ago in Atlanta, and a woman came in the room, and I said, so what's your story? And Sandy, she exploded in tears. And I says, what happened? She said, my husband and my son died 2 months apart. She only had one son. My husband and my son died 2 months apart. And she's weeping. She's shaking. She's crying so hard. I said, when did this happen? She said, 33 years ago. If you don't know how to grieve, every day will be just as fresh of the pain as you had the day before. I can't teach you about that, but you've got great pastors here in this house. And I will tell you this little tidbit. The harder you grieve, the sooner you get over it. All this, stuff it and get on with your life and get busy. All you're doing is you are putting down something that has to be dealt with. So anyway, they're grieving. Every day is weeping. Finally, Naomi comes to an epiphany and she says, girls, go back home to your families. Go back home. I know we have a bond, but go back home to your families. And they wept. And Oprah wept and wept and wept. And then she said, we'll see you later. Bye. Peace out. Now, let me explain to you what church really is. Let me explain to you what marriage really is. Let me explain to you what parenting really is. Let me tell you what relationship really is. Ruth steps back and she looks at Naomi and she says, don't you ever ask me to abandon you again. Because it's not going to happen. This world is filled with people who have abandonment issues. They feel like that people have deserted them. They have left them. They have betrayed them. And they feel abandoned. Naomi felt abandoned by God. Because listen, when you go through things long enough and hard enough, you start to question everything. Hey, I'm a man of God. I can tell you that. I understand that. The reality is you go, God, why are you letting all this happen to me? Bill, yes or no? Yes. And then you come to this place where you have to have a different vision. God sees things I don't see. I must elevate myself to see what he sees. And all of a sudden, Ruth looks with conviction and she makes the ultimate covenant. She says, wherever you go, I'm going to go. Let me just tell you something. With my wife of 42 in June. Divorce is not an option. Wherever she goes, I'm going. Wherever she stays, I'm staying. And her, listen to me. At the end of the service, God told me to anoint some people, some specific people, because you have great callings on your life. But never forget, it's because of the chemistry that's in this house. You think, well, I'll take what I've got and I will leave. Let me just show you. I could take you, and I don't want to say anything negative about anybody. I could tell you there was a time at this church where we had a prison ministry that the least would be 100 people saved per week. We had the largest prison ministry in America out of a local church. We were in 11 prisons. And then it was taken out of the chemistry of this church. There is no prison ministry today. There's just a tiny church. I don't say that to be mean. I'm just telling you that there is going to be some people anointed today that your ministry, visions that have been put in your heart, are going to come to pass this year, in the year of manifested destiny. But you do not lose the chemistry of what got you there. The chemistry. I could tell you so many athletic stories of how great they put together this team. My son is here. They put together the Philadelphia 76ers. And the starting five were all pros. It was the greatest team ever put together. George McGinnis, the highest scorer in the ABA that scored in the 30s, was on that team. World Be Free was on that team. That was maybe the greatest athlete in the NBA at that time. Doug Collins, the first big guard, six-foot, was on that team. Julius Irvin was on that team. The backup center was Daryl Dawkins. They're all pro center. It was a team where they were all superstars. But they could not play above 500. They lost so much because they had a bad chemistry. And then they got like Mark Iveroni. These guys that all they did is they wanted to play. They had this. And because they had this, they went and won the championship. But they never won the championship until they had the chemistry. Okay. So she said, wherever you go, I'm going. Wherever you stay, I'm staying. Now watch this. And your people will be my people. Now this is where you have to understand who people is. I knew when I got out of the car on this property, I was with my people. When I walked in this door, I was with my people. Faith works by love. That's why right now, I just have to do it right now in the name of Jesus. Where's the oil? I want to pray for Clarence right now. It just comes up in my mind this instant to pray for Pastor Clarence this instant to come against cancer, to come against the situation on his life. In the name of, come here, Eddie, Debbie, come here. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. The Bible says that you will anoint them with oil. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. They text me in Columbia, and they say, we're coming to church today because we're believing for Pastor Clarence's complete, total healing. God's not through with Pastor Clarence. He's not through with Clarence. He's not through with Carol. I'm going to tell you something. I know what the reports of the physicians are, but the Bible calls him the great physician. The great physician. The great physician. And in the name of Jesus, as I pray for you, I pray for Carol. As I touch you, I pray for Clarence. And I say that in the name of Jesus, at the authority of the Word of God, by his stripes 2,000 years ago, there was already blood atoned for Clarence's healing. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for what the doctors can do. I thank you for what medicine can do. But I thank you for who you are. And Clarence's destiny is not through. We agree. We agree. Everybody in this house say, we agree. We agree. We agree. We agree in the name of Jesus. We agree in the name of Jesus. Here's what I see. I see Clarence healed. That's what I, not these eyes. These eyes. I see Clarence healed. I see Clarence healed. I see this building finished. I see one after another after another. I see. I lost Ruth and Naomi. The covenant's not over. And he said, where you go, watch this. And then the next line was, and your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. How many of you have children that are not saved? You have children that are family members that need Jesus. Family members that say Jesus, that need Jesus. This covenant right here is what changes all of that. She said, and your God. Because she's talking to a woman that has a different God. Your God will be my God. Raise your hand. In the name of Jesus, I pray for every unsaved, every unsaved, every unsaved. Family member, uncle, aunt, child, mother, father, whoever. In the name of Jesus, I pray saving. I pray saving. I pray that 2017 is the year of restoration of the family. It's the year. I see it. I see restoration of the family. I want you to say that out loud. I see the restoration of my family. I see the restoration of my family. Every one of them. And I'm not talking about just saying I love Jesus. I'm talking about walking in their destiny. I'm talking about seeing the vision, a new path. And then she said, here now she takes it the distance. Because a lot of people say, yeah, I'm with you. And then they come to you and go, that was for a season. Watch this. He doesn't say, I'm going to be part of the family for a season. He's mine forever. He's mine forever. She is mine forever. Are we the family of God? Or are we not the family of God? And so, she said, and where, that's good, you can sit down. And where you die, I will die. And when you're buried, I'll be buried. And let, ooh, I love this. I love this. And let nothing but death separate us. Now that's called going the distance. Because for those of you that call me dad, nothing. Underline this. Nothing will ever separate me from you. Now, nothing. Zero. For where you go, I'm going to go. That's what hope's about. And so, thank you, girls. And so I know that I'm over. Let me just tell you this last one here. The last one is found in Genesis 28. In Genesis 28, Jacob's in a tough place. On this side is his brother, Esau. Esau wants to kill him because he ripped Esau off of his destiny. He manipulated Esau. On this side is Laban. Laban wants to kill him. He just took Laban's two daughters who stole all of their gods, and he took the sheep that Laban still feels like are his. So he's in the middle of, where in the world do I go? He wants to kill me. He wants to kill me. Change your vision. Here it is, Lucky. He lays down to take a nap. And when he lays down, he has a vision, a dream. And there's this incredible ladder going to heaven from right where he is. And angels, which the word angel means messenger. Angels are going up and down this ladder. What are they bringing? What are they bringing? They're bringing the answers to your questions. They're bringing the answers to your circumstances. They're bringing the incredible revelation that you need for that moment in time. And when he wakes up, son, this is what he says. Surely this must be the gateway to heaven. One time in his presence changes everything. It changes your vision. Last night while I was sleeping, God gave me this revelation. This was incredible. You know, where Paul said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. I've not been disobedient to my heavenly vision. And God said, that wasn't just a dream. It was Paul's ability to see from heaven. A heavenly vision. That you can look above your circumstances and see all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. All things work together. Because, watch this. In 1 minute, God changes Laban's heart. And Laban comes to him and goes, God told me not to touch you. God told me not to hurt you. And I have a whole different revelation on who Laban is. Because Laban really is the hero in the story. Not Jacob. Laban's the hero. And Laban says, God spoke to me not to touch you, just to bless you. And Jacob's kind of a coward. He sends his sheep and his herds over first. Then he sends his kids over second. Then he sends his wives over third. And then he comes behind all of them. Because if somebody's going to get killed, it's all them other folk. What a coward! What a coward! And then he looks at Esau, and God had so changed Esau's heart. They were brothers. I don't care what it looks like that's surrounding you today. Close your eyes and see. You are at the gateway of heaven. Right now, you are at the gateway of heaven. The gateway of heaven.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.